You know, if I was going to have a message last night, this would be it. Okay? But it didn't seem to be the right setting, you know, to have an encouragement that long when people are eating. So I enjoyed last night. I hope that the young people, the class of 2016, you enjoyed yourselves. I know the class of 2015 showed up pretty well in force, and they seemed to enjoy themselves. I appreciate the comments that Troy had made at the dinner last night. You know, when we had the class of 2016 all sitting at the same table, and then you were thinking about them as being new members of God's family, you know, we have an awesome responsibility to mentor them and help them grow in their most holy faith. We have a lot of responsibility. And so I'm going to talk about some things for them to maybe use as they walk on this earth, but for them to do those things may require your assistance. So don't be thinking, oh, well, this isn't about me, I can take a nap, because somebody may come up to you and ask you to do something, and you're going, why me? And they're going to say, well, don't you remember John's message? No, I was asleep. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is developing personal faith. We often talk about the importance of truly believing what the scriptures are saying to realize the full potential of walking with the Lord. We've talked about the importance of believing the Old Testament events as matter of fact. And it is, if it's going to increase your faith. That's why it's in the scriptures. So we look at the things that happened in the Old Testament, the things they did wrong, and the whole idea is, well, you saw what they did wrong, you saw God's response, don't you do the same thing. We're not going to hear God speaking from heaven like they did in the Old Testament days, and we're not going to see the healing of lepers. But as Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, found out, we will be called upon to demonstrate our faith in God before we see the reward. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we could see, touch, feel, or audibly hear God speaking, then our knowledge of God would not be of faith, but rather the same knowledge that Thomas had after Jesus provided him the opportunity to put his fingers in the holes where the spikes went in. Jesus told him at that time that those who would believe without physically seeing would be blessed, and that is why we're here, because we're here by faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this is the gist of the message this morning, that we have a personal responsibility to develop our own personal faith. We can't do it for one another. And if it grows and develops, it's because we have chosen to do something with our faith. Much like the parable of the talents, we could do great things with our talent, or we can hide our faith away and be like the unprofitable servant. Matthew 25:30, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, nobody wants that. So first steps of faith. Even when we were kids, developing your faith in your mom and dad comes from what? Comes from knowledge. Older brothers or sisters, or even your friends, you develop a faith in them because you know them. We were talking a little bit about that this morning in the young adults class. Well, how do you know God more? How do you learn of him? Well, you read the Bible. Okay, yeah. Pray. Yeah, yeah, you do that. Meditate. Yeah, yeah, you do that. But how do you really get to know God? And the answer is when you test him. When you test him. And he comes through, your faith and your knowledge of God increases. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, okay, I'm going to cut my arm and Lord, heal it. I'm not talking about something like that. I'm talking about when God just shows up, when you need some help with a spiritual issue that you're dealing with, or even a physical thing. Lord, I know you want me to tithe, but I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to go ahead and write the check anyway. And then when it works out, you say, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Even when the church first started on the day of Pentecost and Peter preached the first gospel message, he quoted from the prophet Joel and King David writing in the book of Psalms. He used these scriptures to show that Jesus was both Lord and Christ and that they had killed the Son of God. The people knew these scriptures, and after hearing Peter, they were cut to the heart and cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, these folks had the beginning of faith. They realized what they had done and wanted to know how they could overcome this horrible deed that they had committed on God's Son. Peter told them there was one solution. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. "Oh, nay, Peter, that doesn't make sense. What good will that do? Shouldn't we sacrifice our firstborn also to show God how much we appreciate what he's done for us?" "Nay, Peter, we must sacrifice by selling all that we have and put it into the treasury in the temple and give ourselves a beating like we gave Jesus." "Nay, Peter, our God is awesome enough that he will forgive if we just believe. Surely believing in the Son whom we just murdered should cause God to forgive us." All man-made suggestions. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that which I say?" John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Mankind can come up with a boatload of religious-sounding things to do, but God wants us by faith to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just follow his instructions and not your own opinions and imaginations. How to build on this initial faith? God said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, the primary faith builder is going to be the Bible. So now we're going to get into some practical applications. These are spiritual apps that we're going to talk about for you techie type people. Make a plan for the systematic reading of the Bible. Pick a time to read each day. I guarantee you that if you pick a time, the very next day, something's going to jump up at that time and try to distract you. Guess what? That's not happenstance. That's not just a coink-a-dink, as James used to say. That's Satan stepping up to the bat saying, "I don't think so, Pilgrim. I don't want you doing this." So make a plan, pick a time to read each day, and there's many read-through-the-Bible plans available. Well, here's a tip for you. Ask somebody to do it with you. Okay, older people, this is where you got to pay attention. So if a young person comes up to you and says, "Look, I want to read through the Bible, will you read along with me?" That's your opportunity to say, "Sure, I can do that for you." Then you can discuss what you have read and encourage one another to stay faithful to the reading plan. As you are reading, have a notepad handy to jot down some questions and make notes. I don't know how many times we've sat right at that table and somebody will say, "I had a question, but I forgot it." And it's not just an age thing, okay? Don't pick on old people. Here's another tip. How about memorizing some scripture? Well, what to memorize? That's a challenge. Whichever scriptures that you might use when temptations come your way. That's a good start. Verses that meant a lot to you when you first heard the gospel. What was it about when the gospel that was presented to you that tripped your trigger and got you to thinking, "Wow, maybe God really does exist"? Make a plan for memorizing the scriptures you think that you could use in conversation at work. So if something comes up, you know, some worldly event comes up and you're thinking a lot of people are talking about that and a verse comes to your mind that that would fit right in with the situation, whether it's a bombing or a financial issue or whatever it might be, you'll have that scripture available. And you will become known as, you know, one of those Bible scholars after you quote two scriptures to people. Conscript a friend to help you or join you. Memory verses. You can conscript people to help you. Call them up, text them, hey, you got the verse done today? You don't have the verse today? I'll check back with you later to see how you're doing on that. I can remember being in the military and having to go out and run on a regular basis, and there's days when you just didn't feel like going. But when your buddy comes along who's all full of vim, vigor, and vitality, and he's ready to go out for an 8-miler, and you're going, oh, man, I don't feel like, oh, come on, wimp, you are not getting out of this. We're going. And, of course, once you get running, it feels better. I'm not saying you should shame them or browbeat them, but do what you need to do to get them moving. Seek out Bible studies and join them. Seek out Bible studies and join them. Get another version of the Bible and compare verses to make sure you're grasping the message. Get some additional spiritual references, such as Haley's Bible Handbook or other reference material like Zondervan's, to help you understand some of the historical or cultural issues of the time. Now, I have an Abingdon Strong's Concordance, but it's a Kingly James version, and that makes it a little bit challenging. Do they make a new King James Abingdon Strong's? Abingdon and Strong were probably tired after they got done with the King James version and said, we ain't never doing that again. Yeah, mine is humungo. But it's very handy. It's very handy for looking up words in the Greek or the Hebrew to see what the intent was made or meant. Put together some verses you'd like to share with a coworker and keep them handy for the opportunity. Maybe traveling with some others to hear other preachers might help build your faith. Now, I was really leery about putting that one in here because, you know, when these camps go, this place gets bare bones already, and I feel real lonely, me and Jerry. You know, we're like the only two that hang around, it seems like. But some people, Mike Cover used to be a big supporter of those things, where he'd go dashing off to every camp and come back all pumped up. So, okay, if you got to do it, go ahead. But come back occasionally, you know? Just come back occasionally. God said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Developing this faith, much like we develop faith in our family members about what they're going to say or do, we learn by actual experience with them how much faith that we can have in them. I shared with the young adults this morning, I don't have a lot of friends, because my definition of friend is a little more serious. I have a lot of acquaintances. But actual friends are somebody that's going to come when you call, no matter what time of day or night, that will never tell you no when you're in a desperate situation. A friend will always be there. So then we talked about, well, how do we get those friends? Again, it goes back to that testing God kind of scenario. You have to test them in small things. And when they come through, that increases that relationship and you begin to have more faith in them. So maybe you had a relative that wanted to borrow $500. And you're thinking, oh, I don't know about that, $500. So you go ahead and say, all right, we'll give this a try. You loan them the $500. They say they're going to pay you back in 6 months. And lo and behold, hey, 6 months later, it's all paid in full. Okay, got some faith that they're going to pay me back. So the next time they come back, and I'm going to borrow $1,000. Okay, well, you were good with the $500. I guess I can count on you for the $1,000. So when you test them and they respond positively, that increases your faith in them. In the beginning, you might have little faith, but it'll be built on a historical precedent, and as time goes on, the faith increases and becomes a great faith. What does great faith look like in Matthew chapter 8? picking up in about verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And when I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Only speak a word, and I have faith that it will be done. Does God only have to speak a word to you, and you'll move out in faith? I think DJ was trying to get us to that collegiate level where we just don't respond like normal human beings. We start responding like Christ. Only speak the word and your servant will move. Jesus had great respect for this centurion's faith. Would he have great respect for our faith? Do we have trust in the word of God? Do we trust this word of God still works in 2017? Do we truly believe these instructions, which are covered with 2,000 years of dust, will actually work in this age of science, computers, and all the technology that surrounds us? Yeah. Proverbs 3 and 5, memory verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And that was something else that we talked about in the young adult class. Testing God with our finances, especially for people who get paid once a month. Yeah, you write that check, you write your tithe on March 1st, and you're thinking, oh, this month has 31 days. I like February. Only has 28 days. But do we trust in the Lord that way, to where we, without a care, without a doubt, without a worry, we write that check and say, well, I trust in the Lord that my needs will be met? Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Notice that God said, try me now in this. Test him. Let him prove that he will answer his promises. Because when he proves it to you over and over again, your faith will increase. Just like when we loan the family member $500 and they repay that loan. Well, when they asked for the $1,000 and they paid that back, you found them to be trustworthy. We need to try God's instructions also to increase our faith. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. For most, that seems to be a pretty tall order. We seem to have a certain lifestyle that requires quite a bit of cash. Just need to start downsizing a little bit, I think. But God does promise he will provide our basic necessities if we keep him as the focus of our life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments, His praise endures forever. That's Psalms 111:10. How will we ever develop a strong faith without doing what God asks? The more we follow His instructions, the greater our understanding. The greater our understanding, the greater our faith. So the young people, the class of 2016, will be coming to you, seeking your wisdom and your guidance on how to deal with worldly issues. They're expecting a spiritual response for the most part. So make sure when they come to you that you put your spiritual headset on and give them the best scriptural answer that you can, because that is your responsibility to mentor them. It's not like we have kids and then we say, well, somebody else will raise them. I did the hard part. God will raise them. No, we feed them. We take care of them. We take them to the doctor. We nurture them. We take them from milk to vegetables, from vegetables to hamburger, I guess. I don't know. I think we went to burritos. But we give them the things that they need that they can handle as they grow. Young people can't be left alone. They need to be encouraged. They have questions. And when they have a question, they're going to come asking. It's going to be up to you to give them a solid spiritual answer. Planning what to do with your faith. Planning what to do with your faith. Now, that may seem like a strange idea, but there has to be a purpose behind us even having our faith. We were meant to do something with it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." By our faith, we glorify God. How much we glorify God is up to us. If our only goal is to make it to assembly on the Lord's Day and not offend anybody while we're here, you're not going to glorify God very much. We need to put a plan together to get the darkness out of our lives and fill our lives with the light of the Lord, so when people see us, they are seeing Jesus, just as DJ was talking about. It will be our nature to be like Christ, so that when people see us, they see Him. Most of us have wished at one point or the other that we had a stronger faith. Maybe we felt like we would not have so many troubles with temptations if our faith was stronger. Maybe you felt at loss while standing among other Christians and they quote scriptures and you're wondering, well, how did they do that? Well, guess what? It didn't happen overnight. Those scriptures were embedded in their minds through effort and repetition. Effort and repetition. Effort and repetition. Over and over again. And sometimes you memorize the scripture and then it disappears. And you wonder, what happened to that scripture that I used to know? Because you didn't use it. If you don't use it, you lose it. Yes, it's true. It happens. You got to constantly be refreshing your memory. And the best way to refresh your memory is to use them. Use them. So you need some short-term goals. So this is for the class of 2016 and maybe even 2015 a little bit. Short-term goals. Get the Bible read from cover to cover. Start working on some memory verses. Maybe set a goal of 20 or 30 or 40 or 90, or maybe set them really high and say, more than Steve. Whoa. Well, you better start right now, let me tell you, buckaroo. Start developing a plan on how you would share the gospel with somebody else. Seek help in doing so or going with others who are sharing the gospel. So if you hear that Brother Steve is going to a Bible study with somebody that is just beginning to hear the gospel or has an interest in the Bible, that would be a good study to go to. Why? Well, one, you hear the questions that you may get asked one day. Two, you'll see the format of how he brings it out. He'll talk about certain things first, which leads to other things. you make some notes about the verses that he went through and the sequence that he did so. This is all developing your faith and planning to do something with it. Test the Lord in some of his promises to increase your confidence in him. Be faithful in your attending all assemblies. And that is not a matter of law. The reason why I'm telling you is to make it a commitment to attend all assemblies is because it's like a banquet that's held here for spiritual food. And if you don't come here, you don't get anything at the banquet table. I think I used the example one time of Corey and Taylor. If Taylor made every assembly for a whole year, and Corey, because of his work schedule, could only make second hour, at the end of 1 year, who's received more spiritual food? Who's had more interaction with other Christians? I'm afraid that Taylor would be ahead of Corey by some distance. It isn't a matter of law coming to assembly. It's a matter of what you're missing when you don't come to assembly. Your faith is not diminished by not coming, but your faith is not growing either. So one person's going to grow, and one person's going to slowly grow. So at the end of 1 year, somebody's in kindergarten and the other person's in third grade. At the end of 2 years, somebody's in second grade and the other one's in seventh grade. Because of the spiritual interaction and knowledge that comes from hearing the word of God. That's why we come to assemblies and also to remember our Lord's death. So, participate in church activities. Not because it's a matter of law, you got to come down and do your part. It's because you get to come down and assemble with brothers and sisters and learn more about them and develop them relationships and see how Christians interact with each other so that your faith will grow and be on the same positive path. Mid-range goals. Take on a leadership role in one of the many church ministries, possibly teaching a youth class or maybe a young adults class if I end up having a heart attack and going to be with the Lord. We're going to need a replacement. But I'm talking to the young people, so don't be thinking, well, that's not for me. Oh, yes, it is. As I mentioned last night to the class of 2016, hey, you guys better be ready to step up real soon because some of us are going to be dropping off the edge of this thing real quick. And that's a good thing, by the way. We've labored long enough. It's time for us to get some rest. For the men, stewardship or communion meditation, or third hour for some people. Ladies' class or organizing the ladies in love, DJ. I want you to know I said that in love, okay. Ladies' class or organizing the ladies' advance, coordinating role or leadership in some outreach effort. You got to put these things in your mind that you're going to be an active participant. These are some of the things that are going to be coming your way, and they may be coming faster than you expect. Long-term goals, elder, deacon, leadership, teaching adults, evangelizing. There's all kinds of things to do if you put on the mind of Christ and you're seeking to glorify God while you're here on this earth. Many opportunities. We've talked about a wide variety of things related to developing our personal faith. Hopefully we've talked about something that you can relate to personally. And for you older folks, I hope I've alerted you and warned you that there's a possibility that one of these young buckaroos might be contacting you and asking you to do something like, help me with some memory verses, or help me with the Bible, help me read through, or help me do whatever. It's our responsibility. You do it for your kids. When they were young and you were bringing them up, you dragged them down to school, you brought them back home, you wanted them to have an education. When they weren't feeling well, you took them to the doctor, you did all those things. Why wouldn't we do it for the class of 2016? If we want them to replace us, we better take good care of them. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and provided this wise counsel to him in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So as you go forth this week, I want you to think about your faith. Is it a small faith or a great faith? If it's not a great faith, consider the verses brought out this morning on how to increase your faith so that on that final day, you'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Okay, thanks for your attention this morning.